Where did Cain get his wife? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of He Writes.
I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thank you, Mike, and Pete Alwin, too. My pastor is in, as usual, on Friday to answer questions. Appreciate your coming.
I'm glad to be here.
Well, I know this takes a lot out of a busy schedule, and it means more than you know for you to do this for us on Key Life. Guys, we love to get your questions, and we do require that you write them down so we can think about it. You can't just pick up the phone and call 1-800-KEY-LIFE. Now, you can become a part of our Key Life Take family. You can get the magazine free. You can get the catalog free. You can get the booklet free. But you got to write your question, and you can make a contribution on that 1-800 number, but you got to write your question down. Send it to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N38593. You can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. And you always get an answer from me or a staff member or on the broadcast or in the magazine. And we love to get your questions. Steve, why don't you lead us in prayer, and then we'll turn to some of these questions.
All right. Father, today we bow in your presence, and we give you honor and praise, and we look up to you, and we think of you. We honor you, Father, for your greatness and your power and your majesty, and sometimes we think the world is on our shoulders when really it's on yours, and we repent of having to control everything because you do. We thank you that you are good and that you are kind, that you're loving. You have our best interest at heart as well as your own, and that we are here to glorify you and to enjoy you. And we pray that that would happen. We pray Sunday, Lord, we'd be able to worship you, or this weekend whenever we worship. We pray for our pastors and teachers and leaders, priests. We pray, Father, for those who have been called to lead your people. May we gather around them and around your word, hear your message, and give you honor. Meet us, we pray, and reorient us over and over again to you. We commit our time to you now, and again, Father, I ask you to be with Steve and continue to give him your grace and strength. Use this ministry to touch others with the riches of your grace. We thank you for the time now as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. First question is from Oregon. If Adam and Eve were the only people on earth that God created in the beginning, where in the world did Cain get his wife?
Did they have mail order brides? Probably not.
From Russia.
Yeah. It was his sister.
Of course, it had to be.
Had to be.
And people are going to say, wait, what about the law that prohibits this sort of thing? Mm-hmm. You've got to remember that at the beginning, before the implications, the pollution of the gene pool that had taken place as a result of the fall, none of that had happened. And it was a whole nother ball game without the horrible repercussions biologically that can happen with incest and too close marrying within the family that was prohibited by God.
Mm-hmm.
We're very close to the pristine beauty and perfection of the Garden of Eden. And so it wasn't the terrible thing that one would expect to happen later on.
Exactly. Well, that means nothing to add to that. That was God's way of doing it.
I'm glad you don't have to marry your sister now. This is from Ontario, Canada. What does the Bible teach about the Trinity?
Never uses the word Trinity, but the concept is there from Genesis to Revelation. I guess that's the most important thing. Jehovah's Witness once told me that we were unbiblical because we used the word Trinity. You can use a theological term to explain a biblical reality.
Of course.
And so we see now, we see the Trinity. So different aspects. We see the Father, Son, and Spirit. Those names are there.
Absolutely. And all called God.
All called God.
And the Scripture is clear there is one God.
Mm-hmm.
Allah. No, voila. You know, you really have to be careful when you start detailing this out. It's very easy, according to systematic theology, to slip into to some kind of heresy. You know, every time you try to explain it, you fall into modalism or into some kind of... The hairs have been split so much on this that you just almost have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
We know that they are eternally three, eternally one, that they are, that there is fellowship, they are a personality unto themselves and yet one. I'm trying to explain this. If you start doing, if you start doing the water, ice, water,
steam, yeah,
that's heresy.
Yeah,
you know that
modalism.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah. You know what we see in Scripture is we take the phenomena that there are three persons, that they are all called God, that there are uniquenesses in them.
Yeah.
But they all have divine names, divine attributes, divine actions, and so we are forced, if you're going to read the Bible responsibly, to come up with the doctrine of the Trinity. You have to.
And that's the measurement, biblically.
Yeah.
The beginning of heresy is right at that point, at least at the second person of the Trinity and in Christology.
Mm-hmm. And the mystery is okay. I think that, you know, we evangelicals in the past felt like we had to nail everything down and understand everything. But if we understand God completely, then we're God.
That's right. Then he's not God.
That's right.
Cool. I like that. And besides, that's all we know anyway. This is an email. Does God, I like this. Does God exaggerate in the Bible? If God doesn't lie, did you hear about the little boy came over from Sunday school and his mother said, "What did you learn?" There was these bad soldiers were coming up to the sea called the Red Sea, and then God's people had these destroyers and submarines, and they came up and they destroyed the. And she said, "Son, are you sure that's what they told you in Sunday school?" You say, "Well, no, ma'am, but you wouldn't believe what they said." The question, this email, does God exaggerate in the Bible? If God doesn't lie, then it would seem reasonable that he wouldn't stretch the truth either.
I agree with that.
And I don't think he stretches the truth.
I don't think he lies. No, I agree.
I tell you what, if you're listening, the person who sent the email, if you want to be specific, we'd be glad to deal with it in a specific way, but... You know, long ago, I remember kneeling down by the desk at a church I was serving near Boston and saying, "Lord," and I had a Bible. I'm not good, but I'm yours, and I don't have any authority, but from now on, this is my authority, every word of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even know what it said, and began to teach it. And I believe the Bible, and I mean all of it, not just, I believe every word of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's true, and I don't think God lies in it. I think some of it needs explanation. I think there are different kinds of literature in the Bible, but it's all true. What does postmodern mean? That's from Florida.
You know, that's important to understand. If you think of there was a pre-modern era, a modern era, and a postmodern era, and you can explain this far better than I can, but just to say that in the pre-modern era, men and people tended to think in terms of living in light of a god or gods and turn to the gods for explanations of the phenomena they saw around them. They thought more theologically, even if it was polytheologically, many different gods. And then in the modern era, they began to think in terms of more rational processes.
And man became the center.
And now, arguably, we're in a postmodern era where many people have seen that making man the center doesn't work. It can't be and that there have got to be explanations beyond what man has come up with. So how would you?
No, I think that's really good.
Postmodern.
There's somebody, and I'm trying to think of the satirical magazine that had it, but they said postmodernism can mean anything you want it to mean.
Yeah.
It means cool. What's happening, babe? Whatever's happening today, but Vies in his book on postmodernism has a wonderful thing that he says. That a modernist, where everything is rational, man is the center, we can fix every problem. When poverty began to overwhelm us, we built housing projects. When they didn't work, we blew them up. and then we built bigger and nicer ones. And when they didn't work, we blew them up and built bigger and nicer ones. And he said the difference between a modernist and a postmodernist is like to watch the explosion.
That's right. That's
and if
right.
You, there are certain defining signs. Postmodernist doesn't believe there's any meta-narrative. That means any worldview that explains everything.
Mm-hmm.
They believe there's no absolute truth. They're very visual in terms of how things are interpreted.
Mm-hmm.
They believe supremely in do your own thing, although they do believe in community values.
Mm-hmm.
Within that community, they can't be imposed on another community. You know what I think? Mm-hmm. And I've been saying this. I teach a course on communicating to postmoderns, the DN course.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that postmodernism is a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mostly those of us who are Bible believers rail against it, but all of a sudden we're on a level playing field.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are.
And so we don't have to convince people that we know stuff to get them to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Before, you had to prove you knew more than the scientists before you could talk about God doing anything. Mm-hmm. You don't do that anymore. And not only that, I think they're down on power. They hate manipulation. Mm-hmm. Jesus did too.
Well, and you know, you're absolutely right. And here it comes more down to a relationship. People are more likely to say, what are you experiencing? And is it real?
Yeah.
What frustrates Christians is because they don't believe in absolute truth. They can say, they can hear your testimony and say, good, I'm glad that works for you.
Yeah.
And it just frustrates. No, it'll work for everybody. That's not how the post. But if they see that it's real and it makes a big, big impact in you, and theirs isn't working, God could use that at that point to bring the gospel into their life too. So Christianity, evangelicals can't just be intellectuals. We can't just hold to a certain body of knowledge. We got to be living it.
And there was a danger of us doing that.
Absolutely.
Thinking that if you got the propositions right,
mm-hmm.
and you understood and accepted them as true propositions, that makes you a Christian. It doesn't.
Well, that's how we beat the liberals who were trying to deconstruct everything.
Yeah.
We went the intellectual route. And I think we won those battles.
Oh man, they're all dead or dying everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, we won that battle.
That's right. But now we've got to shift gears and hold to the truth as well as making it real, letting the Spirit really live in us and through us. That's what the key life's all about, is it making it real, really enjoying the fire.
Good point. Weber, by the way, says that postmodernism is simply a reversion of where to the biblical time, that it's just the way it was in the Bible.
Yeah,
and now,
we've
got to do it Jesus way.
Yeah.
Hey, we're out of time.
This is good.
You do this again?
Yeah.
I haven't offended you so much yet that you won't come back.
Hey, listen, I'm happy with whatever you feel, and I can feel and believe my own stuff.
Gotta go. But first, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.